Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Mark J. Lindquist, and this is Mark J. Lindquist's Motivational Minute. Today's topic, the most uninformed decision that you will ever make. This is the full version of the TED Talk that I delivered on September 20th of 2013. And, I thought about cutting it up into different segments, but I really just think that the speech was built to be listened to in its entirety, and so I've given that to you in an audio format here today. We feel fortunate that this talk now has, I think, been viewed over 80,000 times around the world. And from my chair, I mean, that's a smashing success. Hopefully that one day we'll reach a million views on YouTube and it'll be fantastic. But one of the things that I just wanted to point out to you that this is a talk that is 2,876 words long. And I knew it was a rare opportunity to be able to give a TED talk. And so I want you to know for this 16 minute and 57 second talk that I put in over 60 hours of rehearsal for this talk, because as you might have heard me say from stage before, Edward Lee Jones taught me that amateurs rehearse until they get it right. Professionals rehearse until they never get it wrong. And I knew that even though, you know, this speech was given before I was a professional motivational speaker, and I was just using the skills that I had from, you know, drafting a speech at a wedding. You know, I wasn't even the best man, but I would get up, I'd grab the microphone, and I'd give a speech, and maybe I'd give a speech to some youth or maybe at a church over the years. And so I was just utilizing the skills that I had, knowing how to tell a story. And I rehearsed for 60 hours for a talk that lasted 16 minutes and 57 seconds long, that it was 2,800 and some words. And so I say that to you because I think that oftentimes in our life, we need to recognize that we need to put some extra work into the thing we're working on, because it may have the opportunity to last forever. It may stand the test of time. And it might be advice or a talk that you're having with your child or your grandkid, or maybe a conversation that you're going to have at work with a coworker about a challenge that we've been having, or maybe it's a presentation at work that could be the key to separating you from the masses and get you ready for the next promotion. I don't know what it is in your life. I think often we undervalue preparation. And we undervalue the process it takes to produce an excellent product. And so I and my business manager, Jared L. Bai, we drafted this talk and we rehearsed it, and I recorded myself and I put myself in front of a mirror and I delivered it over the phone and I recorded it again and I listened to it, I redrafted it, I got together with Jared, we rewrote it again, and eventually we came up with what we believe was the perfect 16 minutes and 57 seconds to deliver in a TED Talk that, like I said, now in the next year or so, I'm sure we'll break 100,000 views on that TED Talk. And we feel proud about it because we put the work in necessary. Like Edward Lee Jones says, amateurs rehearse until they get it right. Professionals rehearse until they never get it wrong. And we rehearsed that baby until we never got it wrong. As I listen to the talk that you're about to hear, I listened to it today, and even as a professional speaker who's now performed for hundreds of thousands of people all over the country, and is a what some might consider a seasoned pro on stage as a speaker, I don't think I would go back and deliver it any differently now, because I put the time in necessary to deliver this talk you're going to hear now, a TED Talk by Mark J. Lindquist titled "The Most Uninformed Decision You Will Ever Make."
Thank you. Thank you. Let's talk about decision making, shall we? Now, how many of you earlier in life would have made a decision like this? You walk into a realtor's office and you sit down and you sign a 30-year, $100,000 mortgage. And you say, Mr. and Mrs. Realtor, I need a condo. I don't need to know anything about the condo. I don't need to know where it's located. I don't need to know how many bedrooms it has or if it comes with a pool or a parking spot. I don't even need to know if it's in a big city or a small town. I just need a condo, because people have been telling me that it's better to buy than to rent. So I need a condo. And I'll tell you what, I am going to live in that baby for the next 50 years of my life. Now, how many of you would have made a decision like that? Well, of course not, right? Because that's not good decision making. Because good decision making principles state that A, you would never willingly make such an uninformed decision. And B, you would never commit yourself long-term to something that you know almost nothing about. Why then, when we start our young people out on the race of life, do we completely ignore these good decision-making principles? Here's what I'm talking about. With few other options, our society requires or even demands that our young people go straight from high school into college. And during those college years, round about the age 20, we force the decision of a career field upon you. A career field that you know almost nothing about. This is the most uninformed decision that you'll ever make. You see, because here's what happens. At age 16 or 17, we're already asking our young people, well, what are you going to do with your future? But the problem is that up until age 18, you've lived life under somebody else's roof and rules. The lens through which you view the world has been shaped by the people that raised you. And you haven't been allowed to see the world for yourself for the first time. But at age 18, 19, and 20, we thrust a piece of paper in front of you. And on that piece of paper is a list of major fields of study. And you have to pick one. You got to pick one, right? And it's a high-stakes decision. Because whichever one you pick is going to affect you in some way, shape, or form for the next 50 years of your life. But how are you supposed to know what you want to do with your life? You're only 2 years into adulthood. And if you're anything like me, during those first 2 years of adulthood, I wasn't concerned about discovering the passions in my life. No, if you're anything like me, my freshman year of college, I majored in one thing. Girls! No, that's not true. I double majored. You want to know what my second major was? Video games. And for some of you, it was beer. My minor was pizza. You want to know when my girls' video games and pizza study group met every single night? 3 a.m. You see, I wasn't concerned about discovering the passions in my life. No. I was out whooping it up, having a good old time, doing whatever I wanted. No parental supervision, staying out till 3 a.m. Now, you're telling me that at this stage in my life, you're going to ask me to make any decision, much less a decision that's going to affect me for the next 50 years? Choosing a major in college is the worst blind date you'll ever go on. Why do you think college students are changing majors 187 times in a 4-year period? They're just trying new things out, and that's okay, but what happens is that eventually you just run out of do-overs. And now you're a junior, and they say, you got to pick a major. You're running out of time. If you want to graduate on time, you have to pick a major. And you say, I have no idea what I want to do with my life. I've been studying girls and video games for the last 2 years. But you say, well, if you're going to force me to pick, I guess I seem to like this. Yeah, I like this. Are you telling me that the system of success that we're handing our young people starts with, I seem to like this? But how are you supposed to know? You're only 2 years into adulthood when we've forced this decision upon you. Shame on us. You see, because the only option we've allowed you to get to know and discover the world that awaits is for you to read about it in a textbook or listen to a 90-minute lecture. We're forcing our young people to make decisions about life before we allow them to live life. And at age 20, I just don't think that you're ready for that kind of decision. Now, let me tell you about my sixth grade math student teacher. She came from a local state university not too far away from my hometown, and she made a feeble attempt to teach us math. And me being Asian, that should have been pretty easy. She didn't want to be there. She didn't want to have anything to do with it. And one day, when my buddy Jesse and I were giving her an especially hard time, as sixth graders will do, she broke down crying. And in her moment of weakness, she shared with us her story. She said, you know, guys, I went to college. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I became a junior, and they said, you got to pick a major. I said, well, I'm pretty good at math, and I seem to like kids, so why don't I join the elementary education program? So she did. And about a year into that program, she said, well, wait a second. This is not for me. But it was too late. You see, because she could not afford to extend her stay in college by another semester or year if she were to change majors. So now she's a student teacher, stuck in a job that she doesn't like, in a career field that she has no passion for. My friends, I think that that is tragic. You're telling me that this is a system of success that we're handing our young people? If you don't get it right the first time, sorry, you're stuck. You see, because here's what happens. You turn 18, you go to college. By age 20, we're forcing the decision of a career field upon you. By age 21 or 22, you're locked in. There's no turning back. By age 25, you wake up and you realize, well, wait a second. I don't necessarily like this cubicle-infested jungle that you guys are calling the real world. And by age 30, there's no other options. Because by now, you probably have tens of thousands of dollars in school debt. You probably have a 30-year mortgage. You're probably married with 1.8 kids. Now, there's nothing wrong with any of that. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But all those things do is scream into your life and tell you that you're never going to be able to take time off. You're never going to be able to go have an adventure that will inform the decisions that you're going to make. You're never going to be able to go on a journey of self-discovery and figure out really what makes you tick. So you say, well, I'm just going to do the best with what I've got, and I'll start climbing the ladder of success. But you climb that ladder of success, and as Stephen Covey says, you realize that that ladder is leaning up against the wrong tree. My friends, this is what I call starting the race of life with your shoelaces tied. So here's what happens. You become maybe a little passionless, maybe a little empty, maybe a little bored, maybe a little frustrated, and you go from home to work and work to home, and home to work and work to home, and home to work and work to home, like a hamster on a wheel. You see, Deloitte did a study on employee passion. You want to know what they found? They found that nearly 4 out of 5 people do not have passion for what they do. That's nearly 80% of people spending 2,080 hours a year doing something that they have no passion for. Well, no wonder we see the midlife crisis. No wonder we see the extramarital affair. People are searching for passion somewhere, and when they don't find it in their work, they search elsewhere. You see, we're forcing our young people to make decisions about life before we allow them to live life. We're forcing our young people to make decisions about life before we allow them to discover their true passions in life. So, here's my solution. I advocate for a gap year type mentality, whereby a young person out of high school is expected to take some time off and have an adventure that would better inform the decisions that we're going to ask them to make. Join AmeriCorps. Do 2-year enlistments in the United States military. What if the Peace Corps took people right out of high school? Partner with a local nonprofit and get to know the community in which you will live and work. Do a semester at sea like they talked about earlier. Backpack across Europe. Heck, move 100 miles away from your hometown and get a job. And figure out what this world is for yourself before you make these long-term decisions. Now, do you think I'm crazy? Harvard is on board with my idea. I would challenge you to Google Harvard admission gap year and read the article on their admissions website titled Taking Time Off. You don't have to take my word for it. Take Harvard's. You see, here's the system of success that I believe we should implement as the new normal in our society. You turn 18. You go out into the world and you discover your passion. And you do not commit yourself long-term to anything until you discover that passion. And once you do, you dive deep. You learn everything you possibly can about the thing that you're passionate about. You take classes in. You get a degree in. You love it. You live it. You learn it. You immerse yourself in this thing that is your passion. And then you take that passion and you share it with the world. And in doing so, you're going to make the world a better place. Because sharing your passion itself with the world is infinitely better than sharing the broke down and busted, bored, frustrated, stuck, cubicle version of yourself. Stop denying the world of the passionate version of you. Stop cheating the world out of that passionate person. Carl Jung said, every human life contains a potential. And if that potential is unrealized, then that life was wasted. My friends, you turn 18, you go out into the world, you discover your passion. You do not commit yourself long-term to anything until you've discovered that passion. And then you dive deep. You live it, you love it, you learn it, you immerse yourself in it. And then you take that passion and you share it with the world. Now, my friends, lest you believe that I'm simply up here bashing higher education, I'm not. I want you to know that I'm 32 years old, and I am currently enrolled as a full-time student at Minnesota State University in Moorhead, Minnesota, as a theater arts major. You see, my friends, I'm not bashing higher education. I'm simply questioning the manner in which we introduce it into the lives of our young people. I'm not bashing higher education. I'm simply critiquing the timing in which we thrust our young people into higher education. Now, my friends, as I said earlier, I'm 32 years old. And I have had 15 jobs in the past 13 years. Now, most would say that that is a failed life. But I'll tell you what, I decided early on in my journey that I was going to settle for nothing less than absolute passion. And for the past 13 years, I've searched far and wide. In those 13 years, I've had the good fortune to travel in all 50 states and set foot in 26 countries. I went to college. I joined AmeriCorps. I worked in the nonprofit sector. I built houses for Habitat for Humanity. I built playgrounds in the inner cities. I tutored in inner city schools. I worked in the financial services sector. I got my real estate license. I've been a salesman. I managed properties. I worked as a consultant for the Department of Homeland Security. I joined the United States military. I've toured the world as an entertainer. I've acted in a movie and on TV. I've worked for the National Security Agency. I've been to war. I've been bombed by the Taliban in Afghanistan. I've owned businesses. And today, I am my own boss. Now, my friends, the moral of that story is that for the past 13 years, I've been on a relentless journey to discover the passions in my life. And I'm proud to stand in front of you today to declare to you that as a 32-year-old man, I finally found them. And they are entertainment, public speaking, and service to the community. And for all those naysayers in my life who said, you know what, Mark, you better get serious about life. You know what, Mark, who's going to hire anybody with such a checkered employment history? You know what I say to those people? I say, I have found my passions in life. Have you? Or are you one of those 4 out of 5 people who spend 2,080 hours a year doing something that you have no passion for? Kind of in your face, right? Kind of hits home, maybe. For 4 out of 5 of you, it should. And if you find yourself in that 80% who lacks passion, I offer you this seed of hope. In the book, The 7 Mindsets, Maria Robinson is quoted as saying, "None of us can go back and create a new beginning, but all of us can start today and create a new ending." You see, it's not too late for any of us. You can start today on that journey towards your passion. And my friends, my journey towards my passion was not necessarily easy, and it was, in fact, it was lonely. Because while all my other friends were off following the system that they said they should follow, I was doing my own thing. But I would rather spend the next 70 years of my life offering the passionate Mark Lindquist to the world, rather than having made a decision 10 years ago that I wasn't ready to make and pigeonhole myself into a career field that I knew nothing about. I would rather shake your hand in the lobby and offer you the passionate Mark Lindquist rather than shake your hand in the lobby and offer you the bored, broke down, frustrated cubicle version of myself. Because which would you rather meet? My friends, to offer the passionate version of you to the world is the greatest gift that you can give the world. Imagine a world in which our young people were allowed to discover their passions first. Imagine a world in which our young people, before the age of, let's say, 25 or 30, where their only responsibility was to discover their passions. Imagine an entire generation of young people passionate about what they did. And what if that generation was able to flip that statistic on its head? And now, instead of 4 out of 5 people lacking passion, now all of a sudden 4 out of 5 people have passion, and everywhere you turn, there's a passionate person. Think about how that would change the world. Now think if that generation grew up to be the generation that influenced the world. Now we're talking about real change. My friends, do not believe that the system that was handed to you is the best system simply because it was handed to you. What if there was a better way? So I ask that we all stop forcing our young people into making their first decision, the most uninformed decision that they will ever make. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was some of my life's work. Ideas that I had been stirring around in my brain for the better part of 30 years. And I hope you enjoyed it. I hope if you would go out to YouTube and search Mark J. Lindquist TEDx, I'd be honored if you would share that link with your friends and family and young people that might be able to benefit from that perspective on life. Again, it's called The Most Uninformed Decision You'll Ever Make. My name is Mark J. Lindquist, and this has been Mark's Motivational Minute. Make it a fantastic day.